Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We continue our conversation and momentum regarding all things Donald Trump and the influence that he does have at an economic point of view with his trade relations with South Africa. And as we've heard, not only is it the cutting of the funding for some of our healthcare services in the country, but as we've heard, just in terms of political ties and the rhetoric around our economic policies, he's really created arousing levels of concerns that, as we know, have been offset and, of course, diffused by the likes of AfriForum. But how much damage has been done? What are the subsequent consequences? And if he continues to push through with tariffs, what does this mean for South Africa and our trade relations with the US? To tell us more, we join on the line by Sanisha Pakrisamy, Chief Economist at Momentum Investments, to give us more insight. Sanisha, such a pleasure to have you.
So nice to chat to you again, Gugu.
Fantastic. I typically say that as an economist, you know, probably during COVID, it was a tough time to sleep because there was a lot of concerns from an economic point of view. 2024, 2023 had a heightened sense of calm, and now, boom, 2025 and Trump presidency 2.0. Seems like yourself and your colleagues have a lot to ponder on.
Now, every morning, there's always a new surprise.
Yep, I completely agree. And maybe let's just start with that, right? Every morning, every other day, there's been a new headline, a new policy, a new concern, something new that's being signed into place. Even today, a 25% increase in tariffs regarding steel and aluminium is something that was alluded to by the White House. Help us understand, how should we be managing this noise? And is the market reacting with a heightened level of volatility to these headlines?
So indeed, you know, we do need to be quite cautious of a high volatility period. We also need to be able to discern between very loud, bold announcements by President Donald Trump in the US and what actually comes to fruition. So, for example, you know, he's made very bold statements about making Canada the 51st state of the United States of America, wanting to buy Greenland and the Panama Canal. And on the other end of the scale, he has actually started to push forward with things like tariffs and a rise in protectionism. And I think what we can take away from his previous administration is his tactic. And his tactic is almost one of a scare tactic, where he tries to put the other party on the back foot with these very bold statements. Meanwhile, that actually gets them at the negotiation table. And as a result, he then gets to negotiate what he really is after. And I think that's really, you know, the difficulty of working out what is just noise and, you know, what is likely to come to fruition and actually have an impact on things like inflation, growth and interest rates.
You've put it so succinctly. There's a wonderful 13-minute clip from the New York Times, an opinion piece by a gentleman called Ezra Klein. And he basically says, don't believe him. And he defines this as Trump using a theme that was advised to him to use muzzle velocity. In the same way a bullet quickly moves out of a short chamber as it's shot out, he's quickly feeding us as the media and, of course, signing many of these agreements into place very quickly and early into his presidency to really leave us confused, because the concern is that there hasn't been any significant follow through. Some of these rules and regulations he looks to overturn or implement and introduce still need to go through some of the regulatory processes in the US, whether it's through the House of Representatives or even the Supreme Court. So maybe that's also something that we also need to look into. And is the market actually going back to say, hold on, what, you know, let's see how far this is has been implemented versus just the shock and knee-jerk reaction to the headlines?
100%. So, you know, he does tend to shoot from the hip, and we've seen that in his previous administration. But I think this time around, they are quite nervous about the midterm elections and this razor-thin margin that the Republicans have. And so in that light, we should expect quite a high level of volatility going forward, because I think we are going to see very bold statements and almost a, you know, bringing everything forward in terms of his administration in order to avoid the period of the midterm elections. So I think he wants to get a couple of wins quite quickly into his pocket. And again, you know, even if he doesn't carry through on some of these, I think making these pronouncements can already speak to the electorate that voted for him.
An unfair question, but one that everyone asks: who would be the biggest loser should Trump win and go ahead, especially from a tariff hike increase point of view?
Well, Gugu, there are no winners in a global trade war, unfortunately. So even though initially we have this theme of what we call U.S. growth exceptionalism, which is essentially the US economy growing faster than other markets, in particular Europe, if you had to look at that as an example. Mm-hmm. But over time, tariffs tend to add to the cost of goods that are bought by the ordinary American. And so that means that you end up with higher inflation in the US economy, and that tends to eat away from consumers' disposable income. And with a higher inflationary backdrop, it also means that the space to cut interest rates by the US Federal Reserve becomes far more limited. Mm. So you have an environment of slightly higher interest rates, slightly higher inflation, and that's not great for the consumer. And so ultimately, even though US GDP can do quite well in the interim, over the medium to longer term, we are likely to see a hit even in the United States.
100%. Doesn't help that we're also seeing global increases in coffee prices. Egg prices have surged in the US. So I fully hear you on the argument regarding inflationary pressures that would happen there. But if we come closer to home, there's a lot of concern as to what this means for South Africa. And maybe let's pick up on the trade environment. We've got AGOA. The US also has more than 600 companies invested in the country. Strong trade ties that we also have in terms of our agricultural space with the United States. Should he hold firm to his call for tariffs against BRICS nations, what would that mean for South Africa?
Like you say, you know, coffee and egg prices have shot up.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always say as economists, there's no free lunch, but maybe there's no free breakfast. If you look at the amount of trade that is destined for the United States. So this is roughly in line with what we export to a country like Germany, but it is a little bit less of China, which is sitting at about 11.5%. Now, of that 7% of goods that we export to the U.S. economy, about a fifth of that goes under AGOA, which is the African Growth and Opportunities Act. It basically gives us preferential treatment for things that are going into the U.S. economy. Now, I would say that from a macro level, because it only accounts for between 1% and 2% of our total exports, it's not going to be a massive disaster. However, if you look at the micro industries, there are certain industries that are quite reliant on trade to the US. So the wine industry, as an example, the citrus industry, and more importantly, the motor vehicle industry. Mm-hmm. So in some cases, Agricultural Business Chamber has said that perhaps we can find alternative markets for our wine and citrus goods, but it's not that easy for the automotive sector. And I think that's where the difficulty comes in. Earlier on, you also mentioned, you know, we had the taxes coming through for aluminium and steel.
Yes.
And, you know, the countries that are going to be the worst affected are going to be Canada, because that accounts for about 1% of GDP, mm-hmm. the United Arab Emirates, Mexico, and number four on the list is South Africa. But even so, you know, the total amount that we export as a share of GDP is only about 0.3%. So again, you know, it's assessing what announcements come out, and they do seem quite scary as they're, you know, rolling out from the US administration. But we also have to calculate the actual, you know, direct impact on GDP growth. Of course, there will be indirect impacts, and so your overall economic drag will be a little bit larger. But I would say, you know, it's not the be-all and end-all if we do lose our trade benefits under AGOA on a macro level, but it could be quite devastating for some of the smaller industries. I think we can kind of hold on to the little hope that of the goods that we export to the US, most of them are inelastic commodities that are actually trading without the AGOA benefit anyway. And so a lot of that trade might actually still go through.
Outside of actually exporting to the US, we also happen to import quite a bit from them and the rest of the world. And maybe just to go back to inflation, does this mean that even from a local point of view, we should also anticipate for inflation just to get a little stickier?
I would say that we're quite fortunate in South Africa, because if we look at our consumer price inflation basket, you know, a number of the bigger ticket items haven't seen a big surge in inflation like we saw globally. So everywhere in the world, food and oil prices were a problem. And that was because of the geopolitical factors playing out in Russia, Ukraine, and the Middle East, which pushed up the prices of wheat and oil previously. That then came down quite sharply. And so we saw quite a bit of disinflation, in some cases deflation in those categories. Then what we saw in the rest of the world was that services inflation started to pick up in response to these higher input prices. However, in South Africa, we didn't see the same type of reaction on services inflation, which is actually being relatively well behaved. And when services inflation is well behaved, inflation expectations by businesses, by labor, by consumers also tends to be a little bit more muted. So I'd say we're in quite a fortunate position, whereas many other countries are operating at the top end of their inflation target bands. South Africa is operating much closer to the bottom end of that inflation target band. So we do have a little bit of leeway. Where I am a little bit cautious and quite nervous is really on the currency. You know, we spoke a lot about the direct real economic impact of tariffs and the trade protectionism side of things. But what we didn't really touch on was the financial linkages between the US economy and South Africa. And a very big portion of our current account deficit is in fact funded by the US economy alongside Europe. And so in a scenario where they pull funding, our rand could weaken, and that could become an additional threat to the inflation profile in South Africa.
Got you. I'm going to squeeze in one last question, Sanisha, because I'm loving where this is going. But what does this also mean, I guess, then, in terms of National Treasury stance for next week at the budget speech? Are you anticipating that they'll allude to our trade relations with the US? And will there be shortages in our budget that we might need to reconsider plugging?
Well, this definitely poses a risk to growth ultimately, because what this means is when you have a higher level of protectionism, you are taking away from liberalized free world trade volumes. And so going forward, we are expecting a slight dip in our export growth. And so that will be a little bit more damaging to growth. Fortunately, we are expecting a bit of a recovery in fixed investment and in consumer spending for a number of reasons, a relatively benign inflation outcome, perhaps one more cut in the interest rate. We've got the two-part withdrawals that's been helping the consumer, and a bit more confidence in the political stability that we've seen that could buffer up spend on your fixed investment side of things. And so going into this year, we are expecting that growth will pick up from below 1% from last year to roughly 1.8% this year. And so that we should see coming through in the budget figures. I think they will be quite cautious because they don't really want to put, you know, very big nominal GDP numbers, because that could lead to an overestimate of revenues. But by and large, we do believe that it's in the interests of all the parties belonging to the Government of National Unity to stick to the path of fiscal consolidation and debt stabilization, because up until this point in the GNU, we've seen quite a lot of confidence coming through on the back of stability that we've seen on the political side.
100%. Oh, Sanisha, I could talk to you all day. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
Thanks so much, Gugu. It was wonderful chatting with you again.
Always wonderful speaking to you. That's Sanisha Pakrasamy, Chief Economist at Momentum Investments, giving us a lot of clear insight into what it is that we should be concerned about when it comes to Donald Trump, his tariff threats, and his stance in terms of South Africa's economic policies. Is there a lot to be concerned about? Well, firstly, don't get lost in the headlines. We certainly need to make sure that we do identify whether or not there will be any level of follow through in terms of some of these threats. And ultimately, inflation will certainly increase. But overall, we do need to keep steady with the processes and policies that we have in place. A reminder of that clip that I thoroughly enjoyed from the New York Times, an opinion piece where they said, essentially, Trump is trying to overwhelm us.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.